Grace and peace to you, and welcome to Faith Lutheran Church. My name is Candace Wassell. I'm the pastor here at Faith. It is such a joy to have you visit with us. You are welcome, so welcome in every part of Faith's community. You are welcome to join us in person at worship on Sundays. You're welcome to visit us online. You're welcome in our mission and our fellowship, and most important, you are welcome at the Lord's table.
The Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove Jesus out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the gospel of the Lord. Congregation may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So this week we enter our 40-day Lenten fast. These 40 days leading up to Easter commemorate the reading I just read of Jesus' 40-day fast in the wilderness where he is tempted by Satan. As a church, we fast from all kinds of things during this 40 days. We fast and worship from the Alleluia. We shouldn't sing it or say it. If you see one sneak out, let me know. We fast from flowers on the altar. You won't see those again until Easter. We're supposed to fast from lighting this cross, but that didn't get to the ushers in time. Sorry. And we fast from donuts every week. That's a lie. We're not zealots. And we have more subdued colors. Oh, I thought maybe someone turned it off. No. All right. We have more subdued colors. All of these things that we fast from and worship are meant to heighten our awareness of the beautiful things we have in this sanctuary so that we are hungry by the time Easter rolls around to see them again. So, flowers, light, and colors, and joyful music can come bursting from the tomb. Now, some of us also choose in this time to take on a personal Lenten fast, either putting away something that we truly appreciate and would be difficult to fast from, or we take on something that would be hard, that would be a spiritual discipline, all in the hopes that we might experience some sort of spiritual growth, and certainly an awareness of what God has given us. That's a choice, though, and the things that we do in worship are a choice, which I have always found interesting because it assumes that Jesus had a choice in his 40-day fast in the wilderness, as if he voluntarily entered the wilderness as a sort of spirit quest. But that's not the case. The text is very clear about that. The Spirit drove him out into the wilderness. It's not drove as in a gentle afternoon drive in the country. It's drove as in thrown out, cast out. It's the same word used to describe what Jesus will soon do to every demon he encounters. He will cast them out. It is not a gentle thing that happens to Jesus. He doesn't have a choice here but to fast for these 40 days in the wilderness. So it has me thinking this morning about the lengths we don't choose. The times in our life where no amount of flowers or lights or alleluias are going to make a difference. Times we're in a wilderness season we didn't ask for or expect. What can this temptation story teach us about that? But before I get there, I need to remind you of the things that Jesus was tempted with in the wilderness. Mark is always in such a hurry that he never gives those details. He's in like full-on Candace mode at all times. So he just scoots past it. We have to rely on Matthew and Luke to tell us the three things that Jesus was tempted with. And so I'll remind you that Jesus was tempted with power to reign over earthly kings. He was tempted to make bread out of stones and break his own fast. And he was tempted with saving himself, his own life, no matter what that meant for the world he came to redeem. Power, bread, life. Power, bread, life. Isn't that so often what the unwanted lengths you experience deal with too? Power, bread, and life. Times in your life where you feel utterly powerless, like it is spinning out of control and you have no say. Or times in your life where even if you had enough bread, you couldn't eat it because you were too anxious and worried about the things going on around you. Or times in your life when a relationship, or heaven forbid, a life was snatched away from you far too soon. Jesus faced in his temptation the very things that define our hardest times of wilderness. And he endured. How? Why? And to what end? Well, the answer to that question, for me, lies in science. Sorry for quoting another psychological study up here, but when you're as high-strung as I am, you read a lot of self-help books. So in the last one I read, I learned about a little thing called the peak-end rule. The peak-end rule. It means that people feel better about a bad experience if it ends well, if it ends in a peak, right? So to test this, they had people stick their hands in painfully hot water twice. The first time they stuck their hands in that painfully hot water, they did it for 3 minutes, and then they just pulled it right out. The second time, they had folks stick their hand in that hot water for 5 minutes, but before they pulled their hand out, they raised the temperature to something comfortable. And when it was all over, they asked the participants, which experience would you prefer? And guess which one? The 5-minute one. Even though their pain lasted longer, they chose that longer experience of pain because it ended in a peak experience. Some folks might look at that experiment and think, well, there you have it. Humans are irrational. thank you, Jim, yes. We make no sense. But when I look at that experiment, especially through the lens of faith, it says to me that we can endure a lot when we know there is going to be something on the other end of it. Something the Holy Spirit can make use of. Now, that is not to say that I believe God inflicts pain to test or teach us. I do not believe that. And that first reading from Genesis that Minnie read, that to me is a promise that God will not inflict pain just to teach us a lesson. I don't believe God puts us through unwanted lengths for a greater purpose that we cannot see. In fact, I think our pain grieves God. Because in Matthew and Luke and Jesus' temptation story, holy angels show up to wait on Jesus. And for me, that's a sign
that God wants some relief for him. And you know your holy angels too that show up in those wilderness times. Evidence that God does not inflict pain wantonly. But I do think that this temptation story teaches us that while God doesn't will pain for us, he does promise that the Holy Spirit will help us to make use of the pain we endure, that it is not meaningless what we go through. And how do I know that? Well, remember the three things Jesus was tempted with? Say them with me. Power, bread, life. One more time. Power, bread, life. Well, you liturgical nerds, what comes at the end of Lent? Holy Week. Specifically, Palm Sunday, the Last Supper on Maundy Thursday, and the cross of Good Friday. And what do those three principal days tempt Jesus with but power, bread, and life? He could have let the palm-waving crowd crown him king that day, but he resisted that power. And he could have decided, I don't want to feed these disciples anything. I want to get out of town and save that bread for himself. But he resisted and gave it to them and promised it would always be there. And he could have saved his life. Pilate gave him out. But he resisted and took up the cross willingly. His experience in the wilderness prepared him for Holy Week. In my mind, power, bread, and life. It was not meaningless those 40 days. And the Spirit helped him make use of it. He was cast, thrown into an unwanted season of Lent, and when he was through it, the Holy Spirit made use of what he had endured. That is the hope of this story. For us, not only during this church season where we need strength to carry out our chosen Lenten fasts, but also during the Lents we do not choose, where bitterness and heartache threaten our ability to endure. The hope that our time in the wilderness of life will not be meaningless, and that the Holy Spirit will help us make use of every Lent we experience, will help us to learn through them even more about ourselves and what we are capable of enduring. Now that is a hard truth to preach about, especially if I'm preaching to those of you who are going through an unwanted Lent right now. And I am sorry for that. No one could tell me when I was going through divorce that I was going to be able to make some use out of it. And I didn't want to hear it if they did have it to say. So my heart is with you if you are in the wilderness right now. And I have stories of people who have gone through some of the hardest times and came through with spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit helped them to make use of. I have seen it here so many times. But a friend of mine said she was tired of crying in church, so I'm not going to dive deeper into those hardship stories. Instead, I want to tell you a simpler one. My eldest son, Garrett, 24 now. But to me, he will always be this little boy who at 4 asked if he could play soccer. And I said, sure, bud. So I sign him up. And the first week, he comes running to the sideline, tears streaking down his face, and he says, they're not sharing the ball. And turns out, the boy hates soccer. Not, I tried to talk to him about competitive natures. Like, we're competing here, son. They're not going to share. And for whatever reason with Garrett, it just not compute. Not a competitive bone in there. But being a principled mother, I insisted he finish what he started
So each week he suffered through. And he never learned to compete. He did not grow in that spiritual gift. But something else happened too. Every time another kid would cry, whether it was injury or because they didn't want to play either, Garrett would run over and tend to them, either with a hug or he'd give them a flower he just picked while he was supposed to be guarding the goal. Garrett didn't grow in his competitive ability, but his empathy grew tenfold that season. And it has been something the Holy Spirit has been able to make use of his entire life. And I don't tell you that story as some Pollyanna notion that you should be happy about your times of unwanted Lent. We tell the truth in this place. Pain is pain, and pain hurts. And it's okay to say that it hurts. But our hope is not a delusion. Hope that the Holy Spirit can make use of our pain is a reason to keep going. That is the message of Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness, to keep growing. The cross could not stop that message. The grave could not hold it. And what you are struggling with will not be meaningless for the sake of Christ. So we keep going through this Lent and through every Lent we experience in the sure and certain hope that the Holy Spirit will make use of it. Thanks be to God. Amen. The most valuable message we have to share at Faith is the promise we have in Jesus. We come together every Sunday to share this good news in the reading of Scripture and sharing of Holy Communion. It is these two acts of worship that we learn of the forgiveness, peace, and joy that Jesus has won for us on the cross. These gifts also belong to you, and we hope you will feel welcome to receive them. After we've shared worship together, we trust that we are ready to be sent out into the world to serve our neighbor, and you're welcome to join us in that great work as well. There are so many opportunities at Faith to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. It's what we feel called to do. It's what we're passionate about. Above all, I want to encourage you in your faith. No matter where you're at in your journey with Christ, you are welcome to visit Faith as often as you are able. But whatever you do, keep searching. There is a church family set aside just for you, and I trust the Holy Spirit will place you right where you need to be.